You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Today, if you're new here, by the way, we're closing or finishing our current series called Foretold. And for the longest time, the goal of this series has been for us to know more about who Jesus is, to grow in our understanding of who Jesus is. Over the past few weeks, we've looked at Jesus through different lenses or different perspectives by looking into the book of Isaiah through prophetic or through certain prophecies that concerns the coming Messiah, which talks about Jesus. So let me just give a quick recap of what we had over the past few weeks before we get to our installment. Okay, on the first week, we talked about Jesus as this mighty king or this wise king rather. You know, that he is this promised Messiah, a savior who would lead his people. On the second week, we talked about him as the humble servant naman. That yes, he is a king. We should follow him, obey him, honor him, but not just that. He deserves that because he is a humble servant as well. In the third week naman, we talked about Jesus as the faithful witness. That part of his role as this humble servant was to witness, to preach the gospel, to bring the message. And last week, we talked about Jesus as the obedient sacrifice, that he willingly died on the cross for our sins, for our benefit. And we just did communion a while ago to remind ourselves once again what Jesus did for us. And for this week, for this Sunday, as we close this series Foretold, and as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, we're going to talk about Jesus as the righteous victor. And for this, can you read your Bibles to Isaiah chapters 52, verse 13, and later on in Isaiah 53 naman, verses 9 to 12. So we'll be looking at these verses and some other verses that talks about the resurrection. It says here, "Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted." Chapter 53, verse 9 says here, "And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief when his soul makes an offering for guilt. He shall see his offspring, he shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities." Verse 12, "Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors." In the book of Isaiah, over the past few weeks, we've been looking at this book because this book speaks or has prophetic words or prophecies concerning the promised Messiah, about Jesus. And we've been looking at these passages for us to grow in our understanding of who Jesus is. And so basically, in this prophecies, they're like, you know, our modern-day trailers for some major event that's gonna happen. The point of a trailer is to hype people, to remind them, hey, this movie is gonna come on this date, on this week, on this month. That's the whole point of a trailer. And I'm saying this because the same way, those prophecies in the book of Isaiah wrote those with God speaking through him to give hope to the people. Again, it was during a time when the Israelites were experiencing harsh times, extreme difficulties. But there would be a promised Messiah, says the prophet Isaiah. And was using these prophecies as a sort of trailer or a teaser for that Messiah to come, that they would rejoice, that they would be able to anticipate the coming Messiah. And yet, amidst all of those trailers, those prophecies, those prophetic words, a lot of people missed the point. For people, when they saw Jesus, for one group, they completely rejected him. The religious leaders couldn't accept that he's the Messiah. Even though they studied the law, they studied the scriptures, they completely missed the point. For some other people, their view of the Messiah is, this guy is going to free us from the Romans. Let's make him our king. He's going to liberate us from the oppression of the Roman Empire. But that's not what Jesus came to do. That's not what the scriptures told. So they completely missed the point. Last week, we talked about Jesus as this obedient sacrifice who died on the cross for our sins. When people saw that, those his former disciples, former followers maybe, and the religious leaders as well, when they all saw him, this is the guy who claimed to be Messiah, he's dead now. To those who were following him, for them, man, all hope is lost. They felt defeated. There's this glimpse in Luke chapter 24, verse 21, of two disciples. We're on the road, walking, and it gives you a glimpse of their, you know, their inner sadness. It says here, "But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things had happened. It's been the third day. We had hope that he's going to redeem Israel. We had hope that he's the Messiah. He's this prophesied, you know, Savior. And yet, he died. To many people, the death of Jesus was a sign of defeat, a loss of hope. To many people following him, even his closest disciples, him dying on the cross was like, man, game over. We lost. Him who would liberate us, would rescue us, he's dead now. And so in one story as well, before we go to our main verses, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb to bring spices for the embalming of the body and all that. And when she went there, the tomb was empty. So in verse 2 to 3 and verse 8 to 9, we see this quick story of what happened to disciples as they slowly came to realize that Jesus' death on the cross was not the end. It says here, so she ran after, you know, seeing that the tomb was empty, went to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Verse 8, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. Keyword there, believe. Why? Because in verse 9, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Up until this point, they did not understand that it was necessary for Jesus to die on the cross and that he would rise from the dead. That for them, the story had closed. They had lost. All is over. And now, when they went to the tomb and they saw that the tomb was emptied, when they saw that, says here, they believed. They finally understood what the scriptures had to say about the promised Messiah. Okay, in verse 9 to 10 of our main verse, says here, and they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Talking about this humble servant, once again, the promised Messiah, that he would die, he would be buried, and yet he would do so even though there was no deceit, there was no violence, there was nothing against him. Meaning, this servant was sinless. There was no fault or there was no wrong in him, and yet he died and was buried along with the wicked. But in verse 10, we get this assurance where it says here, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. It was the will of the Lord. He has put him to grief when his soul makes an offering for guilt. He shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. It was the will of the Lord, meaning this was all part of God's plan to redeem mankind. It was all part of the picture. It was all part of the plan. Jesus dying on the cross was not a diversion to the plan. Philippians chapter 2 verse 8 says, and being found in human form, he humbled himself, this is Jesus, by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Jesus was obedient to the will of the Father. It was the will of the Father that he would be crushed, that he would die, he would suffer. He would be crucified and he would be buried. Jesus' death was not a mark of defeat, but rather it was an essential part to fulfilling his mission to redeem mankind. For us to appreciate and learn more that Jesus is this righteous victor, we need first to understand that his death was not a momentary setback. This death was actually part of his victory. It was essential. He needed to die on the cross for him to claim his victory. Without his death, there would be no victory. It's an essential component to the gospel, to the good news that Jesus saved us. And how many of us know that on our own, we can never be righteous? On our own, we will always fail because of our sinful nature. It's impossible for us on our own to be made righteous, to justify ourselves, and to reach the standards of God. Romans 3:23 says, for all have fallen short of the glory of God. All have fallen short of the standards of God. And that's why Jesus' death was needed for justification, for us to be justified. Justification is God declaring those who receive Christ to be righteous based on Christ's righteousness being imputed, meaning credited to you, to the accounts of those who receive Christ. In other words, we are made righteous not by our good deeds, not because you come to church every Sunday from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. service. It's not by our good deeds, but rather it's because of Christ's righteousness. His righteousness was credited to us, added to us. Even though we didn't do anything to earn it, it has been given to us. How did it happen? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us, for our sake, he made him, Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This right here is an essential component to Jesus being a righteous victor. He took our sins, our iniquities. It was crucified with him on the cross. And because of that, his righteousness was given to us. There was basically this divine exchange or great exchange that happened on the cross. That's why the cross, his death on the cross, should not be taken as, you know, a sign of defeat or a setback. Now in verse 13 of Isaiah 52, when our first main verse for today is, it also says here, "Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted." In other words, yes, Jesus was crucified. He died, was buried in the tomb, but he will not remain in the tomb. It says here, he will be exalted. He will be lifted up. He will not stay dead. I mean, how can you basically exalt and lift up someone if they stayed buried and dead in the tomb? And that is why, church, we have another part essential to for Jesus fulfilling his mission, essential to the gospel. And we read this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. And there's some key elements here about Jesus. It says here, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures." Jesus needed to die for our sins, that he was buried in the tomb, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. That third part right there, in accordance with the scriptures, that he would be exalted, lifted up, and for him to fulfill his mission of redemption for mankind is the resurrection. For him to be this righteous victor, what sealed the deal was equally important as well, and that is the resurrection. What we celebrate here, the resurrection of Christ, it's not just some old tradition or old story that has been passed down to us. There's importance to it when we celebrate and be reminded of the resurrection. Jesus resurrecting, leaving the empty tomb, it has a profound impact and relevance even to us today, over 2,000 years later. Firstly, Jesus' bodily resurrection distinguishes him from all other worldly religious leaders. Nowhere else in history, in belief systems, will you see this, that the God of the universe came to this world, clothed himself in human flesh, and died for his people. It was not because of our righteousness, our goodies. No, he died because we were sinful. None of the world's great religions have at their core a resurrected Savior, that someone had to die specifically for this reason, to save us from our sins. You will not find that anywhere else. And it speaks to you of the difference and the truth that Jesus is this promised Savior, that God is the one true God. Romans 1 verse 4 says, "And was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord." In other words, the resurrection is a historical event that is foundational. Here's their statement for a while, foundational. It proves that Jesus is who he says he is, and it reminds us of our daily assurance in Christ. It proves that Jesus is the Son of God. What we've been talking about over the past few weeks, this wise king, humble servant, faithful witness, obedient sacrifice, what confirms all of those is the resurrection. Without the resurrection, we would be a pitiful people. And yet, because Jesus rose from the dead, proving that he is the Son of God, it assures us of our faith, that he is whom he says he is. It's kind of like when you go shopping, as proof of purchase, you have the receipt. Well, church, guess what? Just as those items were bought with something, we ourselves were bought with a price as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 says, "For you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." Our redemption, our salvation, our forgiveness of sins, all of that was bought with a price. There was a cost to it. Jesus' death on the cross was the cost for our salvation, for our redemption, for our forgiveness of sins. But what was the receipt, the proof of purchase that indeed we were bought with a cost, with a price? The receipt here is none other than his resurrection. The proof that Jesus indeed saved us, redeemed us when he died on the cross. And he didn't just claim falsely that he is this Savior, then he could have been just a normal person pala. He deceived many people. But no, because he resurrected from the dead, because he conquered sin and death, this was the proof of purchase. This was the receipt that tells us, that assures us of our faith that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the servant that the book of Isaiah has been speaking about. And for those who put their faith in Him, for those who put their faith in Jesus, we are promised at least three things of benefit. Firstly, we will be declared righteous. Even though we did not earn righteousness, even though on our own we will never be righteous, says here, we will be declared, imputed to us once again, credited to us unrighteousness. Nowhere else will you see a belief system or the truth being told to you that the God of the universe Himself did the dirty work, reached down and declared His people righteous and did something to make His people righteous. Everywhere else, every other belief system, you will see people trying their earnest to be righteous. Isaiah 53 verse 11 says here, out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. It's not just him, but many people will be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. The second benefit is that we can overcome a lifestyle of sin. That to anyone here, stuck, you feel like, you know, hopeless of your situation. Well, guess what? Jesus' resurrection gives us hope that we can overcome a lifestyle of sin, that we can have breakthroughs and testimonies in the different areas of our life. It says here, He shall bear their iniquities. Our union with Christ by faith in His resurrection provides us with the source, the power, and the grace to live the Christian life right now. Meaning, it doesn't just assures us of our future, but even now in our present, it gives us what we need, the grace that we need, the power that we need to live victorious lives. It's not the will of God for us to live defeated lives. What Jesus did for us when He died on the cross and when He resurrected gave us what we need to overcome a lifestyle of sin. It says here in Romans 6 verse 4, that we were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk with a new life. That same power that raised Christ from the dead is at work in you. Think about that. If He can raise Jesus from the dead, how much more can that same power raise you up from your previous life, from your situation right now? It is at work in you. In other words, the resurrection brings hope. Lastly, we can receive an inheritance with Christ. It says here, therefore I will divide Him a portion with the many, and He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because He poured out His soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet He bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. It says here that He will divide the portion to the many, and He will divide the spoil with the strong. Whoever believes in Christ, whoever follows Christ, whoever is saved is justified. And this verse tells us to anticipate that there is a promised reward and glory that awaits when we walk or live faithfully. That there is a reward to those who are justified. And again, it's all because of Him that we are justified. Christ is the victor that brought righteousness to His people. Over the past few weeks, we've talked about Jesus, this promised Messiah. And over the past few weeks, we talk about how the Messiah, how this servant would suffer, would be rejected, die. But all of that was part of God's mighty plan to bring righteousness to His people, to redeem His people. And all of that suffering, pain, and persecution and rejection, God was sovereign. He allowed all of these things to happen. He allowed Jesus to suffer and die. For what? For our sakes, so that we may be made righteous. And today, as we close, as we end this series, church, good foretold, as we grow our understanding of Jesus, may we grow in our appreciation for Jesus as well, that He did all of this. He became all of this, this wise King, servant, faithful witness, obedient sacrifice, and victor for our sake. That He resurrected for our sake, for our benefit, to assure us of our salvation, of our redemption. And for all of us here today, we can rejoice and live victorious as well, knowing that He is the righteous victor.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.